All right. Now to bring in a good friend of ours. He writes for Forbes.com, and that is Barry Bloom, one of the top sports writers in the country. Barry, how are you?
I'm doing great, Marty. How are you?
Very good, very good. And you know, you've seen baseball for so many years. Last night was one of those games, down 8-0, and the Giants come back to win it. Just your take on the comeback last night.
Well, I think, as you know, that no matter how many baseball games you've seen over the course of your life, and you know, for you and I, it's thousands. There's always something different. Some different combination of things that's going to happen in a given game. But I think what's great for the psyche of the Giants and where they've been this year is that, you know, they're absolutely capable of doing something like that, you know, and shows that the future, it may not be as far away as everybody thinks it is.
Boy, it's the truth. And, you know, you're sort of an expert on the National League West. You've covered the Padres for many years in your past and down in Arizona with the Diamondbacks. And, of course, you've seen the Dodgers. What's your take on the West here as we've completed about 33, 34 games?
Well, I was interested to see how the Dodgers would come out of the gate without Kershaw. They seem to weather pretty well. I think they had a four-game sweep in St. Louis at one point. But since then, they've played very well. Bellinger's been all world. Kenley Jansen looks like he's back to where he was before all of the heart ailments and the things he went through. And I just think the Dodgers are still the team to beat in the division. But saying that, the Padres are right there on the flip side of the Giants coming back to win last night. You know, the Padres had an early 3-0 lead that they squandered and lost 4-3 at home in front of a sellout crowd. And those are the games that they're going to have to win if they're going to make any dent in the division. And the Diamondbacks just keep surprising me. They play hard no matter what.
How about Marte homering from both sides of the plate the third time this year? Tell us about Marte, because we have Arizona coming up. I'm going to go down there and do the shows from Arizona on the 18th and 19th, that's Saturday and Sunday. Of course, we haven't seen Arizona yet. Nick Pecoro is going to be on with us later on the show. But Ketel Marte, three opposite, in the batter's box, home runs. How about that?
Well, a lot has been written and dissected about Marte in the last six months or so about how he's changed his swing and he's adjusted at the plate. But, you know, he was the kid with Tyrone Walker that they got in the deal for Hanniger and Segura a couple of years ago. I think it was the first deal that this organization made, you know, when Torrey and Hazen came in. And, Hanniger has been a great player up there. The Mariners have already traded Segura to the Phillies. And this guy, you know, Walker's coming back from Tommy John surgery, and they're hoping to have him back sometime later in the season. Who knows? But this guy's really evolved into not only a good infielder and hitter, but they can sub him out in center field at times, you know, much like Seattle was doing last season with a couple of their players. He's a very versatile player who's very young and just starting to get going. And he's one of the reasons why the Diamondbacks are playing as well as they are.
Good story. Good story on Barry Bloom with us, Forbes.com. You wrote two columns this week I found really interesting. One was about C.C. Sabathia getting his 3,000th strikeout down in Arizona. And look, he's from Vallejo. He's from out here. So we have had an interest with him throughout his major league career. But he's getting real cachet lately as a Hall of Famer. 3,000 strikeouts, 260-odd wins, a Yankee. C.C. Sabathia, tell us about your column and your take on him.
Well, we've talked about this a lot, either in meetings or on the air about Hall of Fame voting. And, you know, I'm a Hall of Fame voter, I've been since 1992. And I just think that we have to adjust our voting at some point to get guys into the Hall of Fame. And if you asked me last year at this time, do I think C.C. Sabathia was a Hall of Famer? You know, I would probably say no. But, you know, essentially, he's actually at 247 wins, which is the top active at this point. I think Bartolo went out at 45 at 248 or 249. So he's going to wind up being the guy with the most wins in his era when it's all said and done. And he's only the third left-hander now to get 3,000 strikeouts, 17 overall. So, I mean, every one of the 17 with 3,000 strikeouts are in the hole so far, except for Clemens and Schilling. And, you know, there's all outstanding things about them that have kept them out. But they have 4 years left on our ballot to still get in, and I think they might. So I think CC, you know, you look at him, he's the best pitcher, starting pitcher of this era. And I think under the circumstances now, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Boy, interesting. You wrote a compelling article. It's really a good article at Forbes.com. Barry Bloom wrote it this week. So the biggest thing for me was, third lefty to get 3,000 strikeouts. Is that right? Third lefty?
Right. The only ones with more are Carlton and Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, they're way ahead of them. And when you think of the, you know, left-handers, you know, I mean, Warren Spahn has the most wins, something like 360.
363.
Of all the left-handers. And when I checked his strikeouts, he was down about 2,500. Mm-hmm. So it was surprising to me that he wasn't there. Kovacs never even came close. You know, it's a milestone, and I think really a major thing that puts CC right into the discussion of the Hall of Fame.
You vote for him?
Yes.
You do. Okay, very good. All right, glad to have you on talking about CC from Vallejo. So we do follow his career here, but he's taken it to a new level with the 3,000th strikeout. The second column you wrote this week, which again I thought was outstanding, was about Joe Maddon. And look, Joe Maddon, Bochy, Francona, there's only a few of the old timers left. The Cubs going to re-up Joe Maddon. The Cubs are now playing great ball. They're well back in it. They're getting good pitching. Hendricks was outstanding yesterday. But will Joe Maddon come back? He's on the last year of his contract.
Well, to be cliche-ish, I think Cubs management has themselves between a rock and a hard place on this. I mean, here's the guy who did more as a manager in Cubs history than anybody since Frank Chance at the turn of the 20th century, when they were in the World Series 3 years in a row from 1906 to 8 and 1 in 07 and 8. You know, the Maddens had them in the playoffs 4 years in a row. They're probably going to go a fifth. They won the World Series in 2016. He's really well-liked among the players in the clubhouse. But I think there are, you know, two constraining forces here as far as management looks at it. And it's that, like Boch, who is on his way out this year, the era of the $6 million manager, with which both Maddon and Bochy are making, it is going by the wayside slowly but surely. You know, the one anomaly to it has been Francona. He makes $4 million. He was extended out two more seasons by the Indians at the beginning of April. But, you know, slowly but surely, you know, the Sochas and Girardis and, you know, those kind of guys are falling by the wayside, and teams are just not paying that kind of money. On the second hand, an organization like the Cubs, much like Farhan with the Giants, would probably want to have a younger, analytically bound manager who is more willing to be controlled by the front office. So you have those two things. But if Joe takes them to the distance again, especially even if they don't win the World Series, but either get there or the championship series again, it's going to be very hard for them to move him out. I don't think it'll be well received in Chicago.
Boy, interesting. You know, it's hard to believe a team like the Cubs, and I know Ricketts was interviewed in spring training, and they said, why don't you do this or that? And he said, we have no more money. Come on. You got to be kidding me.
Right. I mean, the latest Forbes evaluation has the Cubs at $3.1 billion, I should say. And it's the fourth most valued team in Major League Baseball. You know, everybody's got the money. That's the whole thing in Major League Baseball right now. I mean, there's just so much revenue, and it's going to increase. And the gaming money really hasn't even started to filter in and have an impact. And believe me, that's going to be worth billions of dollars over the next 5 to 10 years. That will also have a say on what teams can do in their minor league system, on the major league level, in the staffs they hire, both in the front office and on the field. And it's going to have to be split up in the next collective bargaining for the basic agreement, which comes up after 2021. So, I mean, the sport is awash in money. I know you see the stories about attendance going down in a lot of areas and, you know, in a lot of franchises. I just don't really think they care about the attendance anymore. It's a nice thing to write about. But it's a very low indicator of where the sport is going revenue-wise.
Well, interesting. Barry Bloom, Forbes.com. Well, if Madden is gone, I would hope he would get another job. But as you say, the era of the $6 million a year manager has come to an end. But that would be interesting. Cubs on a five-game winning streak. They're 1-8 of 10, and they're only a game and a half behind the Cardinals. So they're well back in it. Well, it's great to have you on. I enjoy talking ball with you. How are things otherwise?
Everything's great. You know, it's been a good run of interesting teams. I've seen the Yankees a lot out west, and pretty amazing what they've done with, you know, Paxton's gone on the disabled list or the IL today. That gives them 14 players on the injured list. You know, yet they went through a period where they won something like 9 out of 10 with a makeshift lineup. Without all the stars, they're playing differently. More of a National League, move the runner around, bunt, steal bases, produce runs. They're not sitting on the home run. The starting pitching generally has been really good. So it's interesting to watch them in this transition while they're trying to figure out ways to win. I think it's an interesting season so far. And, you know, we're just getting going. We're just through the first month.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I tell people, do not fall into the abyss. There's a lot of baseball left to play. And you said it as well. Good wins for the Giants, two or three out of the Dodgers, and a big comeback win last night. Matt Kemp has been released by the Cincinnati Reds. That just came across MLB trade rumors. You think anyone would be interested in him?
No. I mean, I saw him. I saw Cincinnati play a series down in San Diego a couple of weeks ago, and he just doesn't look like he has anything left as a hitter anymore. You know, Puig is not much better, really. You know, they've been playing him in and out, but at least there's a point where, you know, Puig can explode on a pitch and still hit a home run or a double. But Matt looks like he's pretty much at the end of the line.
Yeah, released. I know he's on the IL with a rib injury, but released by the Cincinnati Reds. Barry, great to have you on as always. Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, you too, Marty. I'll see you down, Devin. I'll be at the San Francisco series at Chase, so we'll touch base there.
Yeah, I'm coming down. I'm going to do the show some there that weekend, so look forward to it. All right, Barry Bloom, Forbes.com. Two good not that you don't always write, but these two I liked this week on Sabathia and Madden. I thought they were very informative on two good baseball issues. So congratulations. Have a good day.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate your backing and support.
All right, that is Barry Bloom, Forbes.com. All right.